How we thank you for your word.
Amen.
To cleanse us through your precious blood.
Amen.
That we can receive your word.
Amen.
That you can speak to us.
Amen.
Oh Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We do give this time to you.
Amen.
That you would anoint your word.
Amen.
And anoint our ears.
Amen.
Lord, we do need you speaking.
Amen.
Speak to us this morning. We pray in your precious name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This chapter 11 is a very interesting portion. It talks about Israel, but in an indirect way, it talks also about Gentiles. So first of all, we do have this matter concerning the people of Israel. Very interesting. In this portion it says that the people of Israel did not fall. They didn't fall. They just tripped. They had a misstep. And because of that misstep, grace came to the Gentiles, which are us. And then, we, the Gentiles, were grafted in to that root full of fat, grafted in with Israel. Very interesting. Unfortunately, and I must apologize, the burden the Lord gave me is concerning God's dispensing, as we see in the matter of grafting. So I apologize. I will not spend much time concerning Israel. Even concerning grafting, that will be one of 13 points concerning God's dispensing. And I trust that the Lord would impress you as he has impressed me how crucial it is that we receive the dispensing of God,
right.
That we receive the divine life,
right.
That we not only receive the divine life, but that we live by the divine life,
yes.
That we express the divine life, that the divine life is everything.
Amen.
Amen. So I hope you could see this. So, first of all, of course, the first example is indeed the matter of grafting. In Romans 11:17. So, this grafting is actually when you graft a branch into a tree. For the branch of a wild olive tree to be planted in a cultivated tree. I will not discuss how this is done in agriculture, because as I said, I have 13 points to make and I don't want to keep you all morning. But it is interesting that agriculture may be different to what we have here. What we have here is the fact that the Gentiles, we were a wild olive tree and we were inserted into Christ as a cultivated tree of which the root is Israel, right? And the point here is not who is cultivated, who's this, that, the other. The point is that we, the Gentiles, now can enjoy the life of the cultivated olive tree, which is the divine life. So this is what we see in the matter of grafting. Then we go on to, well, in other words, the point is that the branch, after being grafted, and of course, concerning grafting, you do have the fact that there has to be a cutting, and this refers to the cross in the case of the Lord Jesus, and also to us. There must be the denying of the self before we can really enjoy the divine life. This must be very clear. So then the branch lives by the life of the tree in which it is inserted. In other words, we live by the divine life. So this is the first example. Then we go on to, guess what? Genesis 1:26. In Genesis 1:26, I'm sorry, I guess I didn't put it there. We find out, as we have heard many times, that man was made according to God's image and God's likeness. Now, this is very crucial. This is very important. Why? Because you are not able to graft two branches that are totally different. You cannot branch a banana tree branch into an apple tree. There has to be similarity, which is what we have in Genesis 1:26. Because we are made in the same image and the same likeness of God, we can be grafted into the divine life. We can be grafted into the triune God. So I hope this is clear. Then this brings us to Romans 9. Romans 9:21 and 23. Verse 21 says, Romans 9:21, "Or does not the potter have authority over the clay to make out of the same lump the one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor?" Actually, Paul gives three examples of God's dispensing. We have seen the matter of grafting. That's one example. Then now we have another example, another illustration. This is the illustration of a vessel. Man is a vessel. "Or does not the potter have authority over the clay to make out of the same lump one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor?" And verse 23, "In order that he might make known the riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy, which he had before prepared unto glory." Well, I think this is very clear. This vessel was prepared unto glory doesn't mean our glory. God is glory. So here we see very clearly that this is revealed, that a vessel, man as a vessel, is made to contain God. This vessel becomes actually a vessel of honor and glory. Honor in verse 21. Glory in verse 23. So here, we see again God's dispensing. God's dispensing in grafting, now God's dispensing in a vessel. So we have these two examples from Paul concerning God's dispensing. Then we have a third example in Romans 7, verse 4. Romans 7, 4 says, "So then, my brothers, you also have been made dead to the law," hallelujah, "through the body of Christ, so that you might be joined to another." Who is this other? Another. "To him who has been raised from the dead, that we might bear fruit to God." Amen. So here it talks about marriage. Now, why does it talk about marriage as an example of God's dispensing? Well, because in marriage, right? In marriage, the man is supposed to be the head, but under Christ, he is not a macho man. A husband should express the Lord, even if he's the head of the house. This is illustration of the married life. Actually, the wife takes the husband's name. Why? Because the husband is to be the head. And then, not only that, whenever there's a wedding, the bride comes with a veil covering her head and her face. This shows that in a marriage, there is only one head. But of course, this one head is under Christ. So it's not a matter of the poor wife to be like in a prison. But rather, the wonderful thing is you have two persons, completely different many times. Like in my case with my wife, we're completely different. And different dispositions, different opinions, different concepts, different likes, different dislikes, different everything. And yet, we're one. What a picture of God's dispensing. Surely we're different from God, but with his dispensing, we can be one. Just like in a proper marriage, the husband and the wife have to be one in the Lord. They have to be identified with one another, just as we have to be identified with Christ. So this is the picture. And then, of course, we already mentioned the matter of grafting. So this is the dispensing of the divine life. Now we go to John 6:57. In John 6:57, John 6:57 says, "As the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father." So he who eats me, he also shall live because of me. Very interesting. The Lord Jesus uses himself as an example of God's dispensing. He tells us very clearly as the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father. I live because of the Father. Again, we have two persons. Wait a minute. This is the triune God. I cannot explain it in a proper way. And the best thing I can do is that to say what a French philosopher said. If you can explain God, you must be God. So we cannot explain God. But even I'm bothered in saying that the triune God is three persons. Because normally, when we talk about a person, we talk about a unit. But here, the unit is the triune God. So the best way I can put it is like it is mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, and note 1, which explains that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are three hypostases. And the explanation of the word hypostases is that they're supporting things from underneath. Don't ask me to explain this. But our God is so wonderful. So the Lord Jesus used his own example to tell us that we should be those who live because of the Father. But this verse 57 is wonderful. Not only the Lord uses himself as an example, but he even tells us how we can be one at the end of the verse. So he who eats me, he also shall live because of me. We have to eat the Lord. Eat the Lord in the Word. Oh, that we can really get the dispensing into us so that we can be those who live because of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, this is marvelous. And then we have in Galatians 2:20, we have Paul. He speaks of his own Christian experience. And we see there that Paul and the Lord are one. Because he says that he's crucified with Christ and Christ lives in him. Then we go to Galatians. Galatians 2:16. Galatians 2:16. And Galatians 2:16. And knowing that a man is not justified out of works of law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. We also have believed into Christ Jesus that we might be justified out of faith in Christ and not out of the works of law. Because out of the works of law, no flesh will be justified. So this is very clear. According to God's New Testament economy, we are not to keep the law. On the contrary, we are justified by faith in Christ. Well, we're so familiar with the expression by faith in Christ. We think we know what it means. What does it really mean? By faith in Christ. Faith in Christ, first of all, denotes an organic union. What does it mean, organic union? Here we're not talking about organic food, right? It's very, very popular nowadays, but organic in the sense of life. So we have a union of life with Christ. That is the meaning of faith in Christ. An organic union through believing into, not just believing in, but into Christ. So because of our believing into Christ, there is such an organic union. So, first of all, how does it all happen? Of course, it all happens by the preaching of the gospel. And yesterday we had a preaching of the gospel. That's the beginning of the Christian life. And when we preach the gospel, we have to preach not doctrine. There's a lot of doctrine in the Bible. But we have to preach, in one way or another, a person. A wonderful, precious person of the Lord Jesus. And as there is appreciation for this person, this appreciation becomes our faith, and we believe. Now, this is not only when the Gospels preach, but later on in our Christian life also, the more we appreciate Christ, the more we have faith in Christ, and the more we can grow in the divine life. So this is so crucial. The faith in Christ. And in this, with this faith, we are justified. And we are justified to such an extent, we'll see that later, that we become the righteousness of God. So the faith creates an organic union in which we and Christ are one. Therefore, the expression by faith in Christ actually denotes, again, an organic union. We have to be clear of this. Through believing, we were joined to Christ. We became one with Christ. Now that we are in Christ, Christ is in us. This is the organic union. And we already mentioned about the grafting. This is the way we can live by the life of God. Then we go to Galatians 3:11. In Galatians 3:11, and that by law, no one is justified before God is evident, because the righteous shall have life and live by faith. Here we have two things. One about justification. The other, if we are righteous, in other words, if we're justified, we shall have life and live by faith. This is a tremendous verse. So, when we are in the organic union, being one with Christ, not only we have life, but we live by this life. And it's all by faith, as we mentioned before. After we appreciate the preciousness of Christ, we're infused with the faith, and with this faith, we have life, and we can live by this life, and we're justified before God. Then we go back to Galatians 2:19. In Galatians 2:19, we see, for I through law have died to law, that I might live to God.
Amen.
Amen. So here, we have died to law that we might live to God. If we are honest with ourselves, when we experience a dynamic salvation by our appreciation of the Lord, we have the faith, we will have the inner sense in our spirit that we have died to law. We don't have to keep the law, but that at the same time, we live to God. How can we live to God? Only by living by the divine life. So this is Galatians 2:19. Now we go to Galatians 3:26. Galatians 3:26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. When we believe in Christ, actually, the process triune God entered into us to be our life. This life is divine, is spiritual, is heavenly and holy. And it causes a spiritual birth to take place. And this birth brings about an organic union between us and the triune God.
Amen.
Therefore, we become sons of God. According to the Bible, it's a divine fact that we can be sons of God because we have His divine life and divine nature. But wait a minute, we are not part of the triune God. We're not part of the Godhead. But yes, we have the divine life and we have the divine nature. So we can partake of this divine life. Actually, it's a matter of tremendous significance for the divine life to be imparted to us, because the organic union takes place. Now, this organic union takes place exclusively in Christ. Outside of Christ, there is no organic union. Then that brings us to John 3:36. John 3:36 says, "He who believes into the Son has eternal life. But he who disobeys the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him." So when we believe into the Lord Jesus as the Son of God, we enter into him to be one with him organically, to partake of him and to participate in all that he has accomplished and in all that he has done for us. All is available to us in this organic union because we have believed, so we are identified with him. And then, by believing into him, we partake of him as life and are regenerated in him. Now, of course, we know that the Lord, after his crucifixion, in his resurrection, he became the life-giving spirit. And as the life-giving spirit is that he enters into us. As the life-giving spirit, he is available, waiting for us to come to him. So we are saved, we're regenerated, and enter into an organic union with Christ, who is the life-giving Spirit. When we believe into Him, we become actually one Spirit with Him. 1 Corinthians 6:17. So, by faith, we're brought into an organic union. I guess by now you're getting tired of hearing this, but how important it is. Now we come to Romans 12:5. Romans 12:5 says, "So we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another." Again, the key phrase here is "in Christ." In Christ is very significant because it indicates the organic union. But this is so marvelous because it tells us not only that we, being many, are one body in Christ, but also individually members one of another. So when we are enjoying the organic union, when we're living by the divine life, not only are we one with the whole body universally, but we're one with every member. Oh, this is really precious. In ourselves, we can never be one. In ourselves, we are all individualistic. We're all, how should we put it? We're all divisive in ourselves because we're different. Not because we want to be divisive, but in ourselves, in our natural life, this is the way we are. So how we need this organic union so that not only we can be part of the body of Christ, but also individually members of one of another. So if you look at the other side, if we're not in the organic union, we are out of the body. How we need to realize this. You know, we need the body. We need one another. But the body is spiritual. Although all of us here are parts of the body, yet it is spiritual and it can only be enjoyed by being in the divine life. Then we go to Romans 12:1. Romans 12:1. "I exhort you therefore, brothers, through the compassions of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service." Having realized that we are part of the body of Christ, what do we have to do? We have to present our bodies. Now you might say, well, wait a minute, that is not spiritual, right? That's physical. Our body is physical. Well, what happens is that if we don't present our bodies to the Lord for the big body, it's not practical. It's not real. You can say you're one with everyone else in spirit, but it doesn't work. To be in the body, we have to be physically. For that, we have to present our bodies. We have to be in the meeting physically. Otherwise, forget it. It's not real. It's not practical. Then that brings us to 1 John Chapter 5, verse 4b. "And this is the victory which has overcome the world, our faith." This is the faith that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. 1 John 5:5, that we may be begotten of God and have the divine life by which we are enabled to overcome the world which is ruled, directed, controlled by Satan. So our trust should not be in the faith itself. Or you might tell me, well, wait a minute, this is what the verse says. But actually, in our experience, what happens is that our faith brings us into an organic union with a process triune God. And it's this organic union that we have by faith that directly overcomes the world. By believing on the Lord Jesus, we're brought into an organic union with the triune God, and this union produced by faith, then overcomes the world. And then 1 John 5:5. And who is he who overcomes the world except him who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So again, it is made very clear that to overcome the world, we must believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and this brings us into an organic union. This brings us finally to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. On behalf of Christ, then, we're ambassadors. As God entreats you through us, we beseech you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Actually, the previous verse, verse 19, tells us that that Christ was reconciling the world to himself, not accounting their offenses to them, and has put in us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, there must be two steps to this reconciliation. The first step being, in verse 19, refers to Christ dying for our sins so that God could receive us. So this is the first point, the first step of reconciliation. Reconciled to God, no longer sinners. But it says that on verse 20, we are ambassadors. As God entreats you through us, we beseech you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. The first reconciliation concerning our sins is objective, and it was done by Christ. The second reconciliation actually refers to our being able to take the cross concerning our natural life so that God can really live in us. And in this second step, Christ died for us, the persons, that we might live to him. So this is no longer the aspect of sin, but the aspect of God being able to deal with our natural life. Finally, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Him who did not know sin, he made sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This indicates that eventually those who have been brought back to God, those who live in the organic union with God, not only will be righteous, but will actually become the righteousness of God. We actually will become righteousness itself, not just merely righteous. How is that possible? Because it says, become the righteousness of God in Him. It is in Him, not in us, that we can become the righteousness of God. In us, in the flesh, there is sin. So only in God, in Him, we can be the righteousness of God. So I hope you were not too bored by mentioning the organic union so many times. So I will just repeat the examples. First we have grafting, then we have vessels, then we have married life, then we have Christ, the Son, and the Father having one life, and we can have one life by eating Christ. Then Christ lives in Paul. Then we're justified by faith. We have life and live by faith. We're dead to the law and alive to God. We're sons through faith, sons of God through faith. We have eternal life. We present our bodies. Our faith overcomes the world. And finally, we become the righteousness of God. Amen. Praise the Lord.
We have a couple of announcements, and then we'll sing hymn number 501 before we go to our language meetings. The first announcement is from the, well, it's actually related to the Chinese-speaking conference, so I hope you will translate this. Today is the last day to register for the 2015 Spring Chinese-speaking conference, which will be held from May the 1st through the 3rd in the church in Franklin Meeting Hall, Franklin, New Jersey Meeting Hall. Please give your registration form with a fee to Sam Liu in the book room, he'll be over here, after this meeting. Then we want to remind the saints that the deadline for the summer training is May the 1st. There are forms on the counter, so if you're planning to go to the summer training, which will be the next training also on the crystallization of Exodus, you should fill out the form for Anaheim, and you can give that to me or Frank or any of the ushering brothers. Then lastly, we will finish chapter 11 this week from the book of Romans. Actually, we're covering a few verses from this week as well, to include all the verses on grafting for this coming week. We'll finish chapter 11 this week, so remember to pick up your morning watch verses. Now if we turn to hymn 501, we'll sing this hymn, and then the saints can go to their language meetings. Maybe we can stand and sing, take a little stretch, and then we'll have our, our prophesying time, okay? So 501, hymn 501.